You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Michael K. Show.
5 seconds, Randle against Tucker. 3 seconds, drives with the right in the paint, lost it, got it back to jumper. It's good to beat the buzzer. Julius Randle and the Knicks, a big first half at the Garden.
Just for passing the knowledge that I've learned down to the next guys, hoping I can make adjustments to the NBA faster for them and help them out as much as I can. You know, as a leader of a team, that's my job. I'm always going to constantly give them advice and give them information.
The Michael K. Show.
Wilson Chandler. Woo! Raymond Felton. Timothy Mozgov.
Oh, that one hurts.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Well, we've been talking about this all day. We're excited that we're going to get Julius Randle on with us. He is having an all-star caliber year. Really, honestly, the best year so far of his young career. He's been phenomenal, and he's nice enough to join us now on a game night as the Knicks will take on the Hawks right here on 98.7 ESPN. Julius, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good, fellas. How are you guys?
We're doing all right. I mean, not as well as you're doing. How pleased are you with the way you've played so far this year and the way the team has played?
It's been good so far. We try to take everything game by game, and, you know, we're growing as a team. Everybody's growing as individuals and realizing we need everybody to do this thing to make it work. So it's going good, man. I'm happy with our progress so far, for sure.
Explain to me how Thibodeau has made a difference.
His attention to detail is unbelievable. We go into games really prepared, almost like every game's a playoff game in a sense. That's how good his attention to detail is. That's how good he is as a competitor, as a coach. He's going to make sure that we're extremely prepared, that we're doing everything right on a day-to-day basis with the fundamentals, how we approach the game and everything. So he's been amazing. He's a complete culture changer for sure.
I'll tell you what, Julius, it's refreshing to hear that because sometimes we get the feeling that players don't want to be coached. But what you're saying is you guys wanted to be coached, and this guy's really coaching you hard.
Yeah, all of us. And when I talked to, the guys in the summer and guys in the front office, that was my thing. I wanted somebody to come in and coach us hard, to hold everybody accountable, and that's exactly what Tibbs has done. He's done a great job.
Now, he has come out and said on some interviews, Julius, I'm just wondering if it's true, I'm never happy about anything. Is he fun at all? Do you ever have fun with him?
Oh, man, yeah, man. He'd probably kill me for saying this, man, but he's soft inside, man. He's not all hard like the persona. He's definitely a beast. He's going to coach you hard. He's going to be tough on you in the deep. Honestly, man, the process, we're all enjoying it. We're having fun with the process. We are liking being coached, obviously. And when you see the results of things and how things are working out and we're getting better as a team, you got to have fun with that process. So, we're enjoying it.
Julius, can we let's take it back a little bit. The Lakers, 2015-2016. What Kobe's last season, what was that? Was that like week to week, game to game, the circus as the season went on? Was it fun? Was it tough? What was he like during that time? Take us through it.
Man, honestly, it was an experience that I'm extremely grateful that I had. It was unbelievable to see the amount of love and, just the amount of just fandom that people have for the guy, man. It was absolutely amazing to be a part of. Obviously, as a young player, it's tough because you want to develop, you want to win, and, the season really wasn't about that. But for me, being, you know, a Kobe fan, that being my childhood idol, and, you know, being able to have that experience is something, you know, that I'll cherish forever. And honestly, it was amazing, too, in a sense, from learning, because Kobe, during that time, he was an open book. He withheld no knowledge. He always was willing to share help, you know, to get better. And, you know, as you saw throughout his retirement, that was his thing. You know, he wanted to help the youth and the next generation get better. So for me, it was an amazing experience, man. I wouldn't change it for anything.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, you haven't been here that long, but do you have any idea how electric the Garden would be if there were fans in it the way you guys are playing?
Man, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. That's probably the one bummer about this season is, you know, we don't get the experience that we feel it. Honestly, we feel the energy of the fans, you know, outside the game and, you know, whatever it might be. But that's probably just the one bummer, man, that we don't get to feel that energy of the Garden on a night-to-night basis.
Now, Julius, you've been around a while, but you're still very young. And then there's a guy like Derrick Rose who's been around a while, and he's not young. What has he meant since they acquired him? It seems like he's taken Toppin and Quickly under his wing. Is that true?
Yeah, he has. Man, he looks young. The way he's playing out there, man. You know, he just gives us another veteran presence. He's obviously been unbelievable for us, you know, so far with what he brings to the court and how he's playing and the confidence. And you know, he looks amazing out there. He's obviously familiar with Tibbs and everything that, you know, Tibbs wants to do and stuff like that. So, you know, he's been great. I've been excited to share the court with him for sure.
What were your expectations going in for your team?
For this year?
Yeah.
Just to compete, man. Honestly, I didn't really try to put expectation on anything. I was prepared for whatever the situation might be. Honestly, and, you know, for me, it was, you know, my mindset was, as an individual, I did everything I could do throughout the summer to prepare myself as a player, to prepare myself mentally, and prepare myself as a leader or whatever it may be. So I didn't put any expectations on it. I knew we were going in the right direction just throughout the summer and the time that I spent with Tibbs and the coaching staff and, you know, our front office and stuff like that when, you know, I was back and forth between here and in Dallas throughout the summer. So I knew we were heading in the right direction. And for me, it was just I wanted to take everything a day at a time coming into the training camp. And, you know, things have been going well so far.
New York Knicks forward Julius Randle is our guest here on the Michael Kay Show. Let me ask you a basketball nerd question. With Robinson being out with a broken hand, you must have one hard elbow, by the way. But with him being out, would you be willing to go to five and have Toppin play four? Would you be comfortable playing in a center position for a while till Robinson got back?
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's, you know, something I'll talk to Coach about before. You know, a lot of the time in my last year with the Lakers, I would start the game at the four and finish a lot of the game at the five. So I played five a bunch before, even in New Orleans, I played five. So it's definitely something I'd be comfortable doing. And, you know, for me, I just look at it as it's kind of like a mismatch with me at the five, being able to use my strength and my speed and get up and down the court. You know, we just got to rebound and defend, and we'll be fine.
Now, you and IQ are both Kentucky guys. First of all, mm-hmm. how strong does that bond go, even when you're from different eras at Kentucky? And how often do you talk to Coach Cal?
It's definitely a strong bond, man. Whenever you see, it seems like we play a Kentucky player every night. So, It's definitely a strong bond. It's always amazing seeing guys, you know, whether they play, you know, before you or after you. It's just always that mutual respect. So it's always good. I talk to Coach all the time, man. He texts me all the time, once every week or two, just talking about how proud he is, or he'll send a stat about the program or whatever it is or what I'm doing. So, you know, Coach definitely keeps up
and you know, truly cares about his players even when we're gone.
Now, you are eighth in the voting for the Eastern Conference in the front court. How much would it mean for you to make the All-Star team?
Oh, a lot, man. I've, you know, you go into the summer and you go into even just coming into the situation with the Knicks, you know, that's definitely a goal that you put down or that I put down for me to accomplish. So, man, it would be amazing. You know, it would be an amazing honor, a step of growth for me, obviously. And, you know, it would mean a lot for me and my family. But, you know, we just got to keep playing, keep doing what we're doing. You know, I'm really just focused and locked in on the team. And, you know, I always try to say, you know, I try to put the team first and everything that we're doing first. And, you know, the rest takes care of itself.
It seems like a lot of players are not that keen on the All-Star game with, you know, with everybody, you know, dealing with the COVID situation. You sound like you really want to go, though.
I mean, just to be a part of it, just to be mentioned, you know, what it would be amazing. Obviously, I see both sides of it. You know, I see the side from the league of doing what they can, you know, to bring awareness about COVID with is what they're talking about in the HBCUs. And I understand the business side of it, you know, with it being a big game, one of the most engaged games throughout the year. So I understand that part, and I understand our part, you know, the players. You know, this has been a tough season, you know, with as many games as we're playing in a short amount of time. You know, the guys who went to the bubble and had the short off season, you know, guys are tired, guys need rest, and everything that's going on with COVID. Mm-hmm. So I understand that aspect of it too. So I've said it before, you know, at the end of the day, nobody's going to be happy. Everybody's not going to be happy about it. So, you know, you just kind of got to roll with whatever happens and, you know, just go from there.
Now, Julius, we're all going through it, but you're traveling across the country. You're getting tested all the time, going to different arenas, hotels. What's the challenge of focusing on basketball while all this is going on?
I think that's the easy part. You know, just because it's so, you know, throughout the season, you just kind of get lost in the game and lost in preparation and things. The challenging part is, like you said, just the traveling, the testing. You know, it's long nights. Just staying on top of all that type of stuff. You know, it's hard, but we're getting through it. And, you know, we've been one of the lucky teams that haven't had guys out, knock on wood, you know, for that. So, you know, our organization is doing a great job of protecting us and keeping us safe. So we've been lucky.
All right, you guys are in a little bit of a hot streak right now, and you're in a part of the schedule where you can do some damage. Julius, can this team make the playoffs this year? Because Knicks fans are starved for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely we can, you know, but – you know, we understand that's the big picture things, but like I said, Tibbs does a great job of preparing us from game to game. And, you know, we're taking everything game by game basis, and we're locked in, we're focused. We know what the schedule is, and we know what we have to do. So we're just going to try to keep staying at it, keep doing it together.
And on a personal note, the only Julius I know, Julius, is my grandfather, God rest his soul. And my grandmother always called him Jules. Do you have a nickname? What do people call you?
Some people call me Jewel. Some people call me Jew. Juju J. You know, it depends. You know, I'll roll whatever though.
Very good.
Well, you are Julius Randle to us. Yeah. Hopefully, we could also add All Star to that. We'll tell people how they can vote. I know you've got to get to your game preparation. We appreciate you taking some time with us, and congratulations so far on what's been a great year for you and a pretty good year for your team.
Absolutely, I appreciate you guys. Thank you, man.
Thanks,
you
man.
Got it. All right, so if you want to vote, you can go to NBA.com from a desktop or a mobile browser. Go to the NBA app. You can go to Twitter. You could tweet, retweet, or reply with a hashtag of an NBA player's first and last name or Twitter handle, and that's how you vote. Fans may vote for 10 unique players per day from January 28th through February 16th. So, Andrew, correct me. I think you told me February 16th, your vote counts for how many?
It's a two-for-one day, so if you vote, it counts double. So, Knicks fans, this guy deserves to be in, so Knicks fans need to get out the vote today, but especially tomorrow.
Imagine if, like, our national elections were like that, Peter, on certain days the votes count for two.
I think some people think that is how it works, actually.
Wow. So, tomorrow is a double vote day. Boy, he's a really engaging guy.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you already find this team likable and you're just excited about the way they're playing, you hear a guy like that, and you get not only to get more sights of how good a dude he seems like, but from a talent standpoint, where he is in his career, they got a guy who's really hitting the stride of his career right now.
And unfortunately for him, as well as he's playing, there are going to be teams that are interested. And if you're going to acquire a big-time player like a Beal, his $20 million a year is something that becomes tradable, if you know what I mean. So we talked about this a lot. It's a real tightrope that the Knicks have to walk because this guy is one of the leaders of the team. He's obviously a guy who's bought into the program, loves to be coached hard. And I loved hearing that. A lot of players don't want to be coached. This Knicks team wants to be coached, and it's good because they have a coach who, you know what, knows how to coach. And Thibodeau's also working that tightrope as well. Wants to develop the young players, but not at the expense of winning. He wants to win. I'm not going to say they're going to win a championship, but it's very, very conceivable that they could be in the playoffs.
But he's one of the players that makes deals like this difficult to me, Michael. Like,
yep.
how do you, if he has to be part of a deal, or if he's not part of a deal, but you simply know that you won't be able to afford him anymore. And he is, we would all say, the best player at this moment on the team. How do you know for a fact that you're moving forward when you get rid of what's been the best piece of this team?
It becomes almost a chess game. You know, if we move this piece, although this piece is important, you know, what can we do with that piece? And that's why they get paid all that money. That's why, you know, what Leon Rose and the front office and Thibodeau, they have to decide, will we be better if we add this person, even if we take something away that's really helping us right now? It's a tough call. I don't think they would want to include Julius Randle because he's been part of the success.
I'd be curious to look this up. And I know Andrew certainly has some experience with this because it was his team for a long time. How often are teams led to greatness by players who are like 6'3 and under as their primary option all the time? Like, Randle's not only a great scorer, he's such a big body too. Like, I don't know. I loved Allen Iverson. I love Bradley Beal. There are a lot of players I really like who are scoring machines. But it seems like when you look around the league at the teams who really go far, oftentimes that big-time player is a big man.
Big man that can handle. You know, he before Derrick Rose got here, he did handle a lot, and he was, you know, doing triple doubles a lot, so he was dishing out assists. But, you know, LeBron's a big man that handles.
That's what I mean. So yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's not as simple. I don't mean a center. I just mean a guy who can score for you who is not such a diminutive player.
Let's go to the phones. 1-800-919-3776. We go to Robert in the Bronx. Robert.
Hey, my.
Turn on your radio,
hey,
Robert.
How's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. So I just have 2 points. My first point is about the Bradley Beal trade and that caller who said that it kind of feels like the Carmelo trade. I think the big thing that people were kind of forgetting about that trade was when they made that trade for Carmelo, we basically gave away all the young pieces that we had and swapped them out for a whole bunch of older guys. Now, granted, it was like legends like Jason Kidd, Rasheed Wallace, but it wasn't sustainable, and then pretty much everything kind of fell down after that. So, yeah, Melo had a great year, but I think we can all say that Melo is not really the type of talent where he can just uplift anybody that you put around him. He kind of has to have certain types of players to help him be successful. So that's why I'm not against getting Bradley Beal. I just don't think the timing right now is great. And let me know what you think about that.
I mean, the timing could be good according to what you have to give up. If you have to give up a truckload of players, then the timing's not good. If you could sell Washington on, you know, we could take this huge contract off your hands. There are a lot of teams that can't. And we don't have to give you flotsam and jetsam back to make it work. So that's an attractive aspect that the Knicks have. But it doesn't seem like Washington right now wants to get out from under that deal. It's a very difficult call, but don't look down your nose at a talent like Bradley Beal. That guy can score, and also the Carmelo stuff. You got to take a chance. They couldn't get anybody to come here. This guy wanted to come here. Amari came here because nobody else offered him 5 years, $100 million. So the players they gave away, yeah, they were younger players, but they were not difference makers by any stretch of the imagination.
No, they weren't.
And by the way, the year that Jason Kidd came here, they played really well. They were a good team. And then Kidd retired so he could become a coach.
He's Please, right, though. Stop. I took a look at that roster. It was old. A lot of older guys there.
But they had to give away some of the younger players to get Carmelo. But I mean, LeBron wouldn't even engage them.
No, listen, they had to do what they had to do, and nobody was complaining when they were in the second round playing a game six against the Pacers. But the roster was old. I was talking about with Andrew during the break. Kurt Thomas was in his 17th season. Kidd was in his 18th season. They had a lot of older guys there, but, you know, it was the really last good Knick team. And that's going on 8 years ago.
Hey, there's an awful story that's developing right now, and I'm sure we'll deal with it a little bit more as we move along. But Vincent Jackson, perhaps best known for playing for the Tampa Bay Bucks, 38 years old, died in a hotel room in Florida. And the cause of death is unknown right now. But that's just a three-time Pro Bowler. You look at Vincent Jackson's numbers. Yeah. He's a good player, man.
Like five times he had over 1,000 yards receiving. Really good charger. And then what, spent the last 4 or 5 years of his career in Tampa.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sad.
Came out of nowhere, really sad.
Yep. Let's go to Brandon in Minnesota. Brandon.
I have a very good point to make, but I wanted to just ask a quick question on Peter. Who was the big man in Golden State all those years?
That's a fair point.
Yeah, I mean, Steph Curry, 6'3".
Yeah, well, no, that's a totally fair point. But also, when was the last time you had any combination as special as those guys? Like, that wasn't like there was one.
True. That's true, and that's the reason why DeAndre Jordan shouldn't be on the floor anymore. The guy is holding back the explosiveness of this offense because Kevin Durant can play like that the way he did in Golden State here, and they don't need a big man on the floor, and they're better without him. I think this guy, Bruce Brown, is really a superstar. He reminds me of Bruce Bowen.
Yeah, but again, Brandon, I mean, they have trouble with rebounding right now. If you take Jordan out of the game, you're really going to have trouble with rebounding. You really are.
I don't disagree with that. I did call with a different point, though. Julius Randle, to me, is a poor man's version of LeBron. He doesn't hit his shots like LeBron, but LeBron doesn't either hit his shots. It's not really the right comparison. But the physical nature of Julius Randle on the floor creating plays, LeBron is who he is because of his physical attributes. He's not a great, beautiful basketball talent in the purest sense, the way Michael Jordan was. He's just this physical specimen, and Julius Randle has a lot of that.
Well, one thing about, I mean, LeBron has become a very proficient three-point shooter. He's much better from the outside than he was at the beginning of his career. He's got sheer brute force that can get him to the basket, and a want and a motor like no one else. I mean, you said that Julius is a poor man's LeBron. I don't even know if I could say that. Julius has also shot very well from 3 points. I'm not going to take anything away from him. He's had a great, great season so far.
I mean, I know what he's saying in terms of being a guy who's 6'8 and athletic. He's in that category of LeBron or Zion or players like that. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, they're all different. And certainly, I don't know why people say that about LeBron. LeBron is, I mean, yeah, he's not Steph Curry, but he's an elite shooter often. I mean, he's a... How many clutch jumpers have we seen LeBron hit throughout his career?
He's now a dangerous shooter from 3-point. He was not that like 10 years ago. He's great. We don't have to sell you on LeBron, but I'm not going to put Julius Randle right now in the same breath as LeBron. I mean, that's a long way off. I don't think anybody's going to be in the breath of LeBron other than Michael Jordan. That's how special he is.
I mean, LeBron's currently shooting 50% from the floor.
Not too bad.
Not too bad.
What's his three-point number?
LeBron's three-point right now is 39.
That's pretty good. Pretty, pretty good.
He was 35 last year, 34 the year before that, 37 the year before that. He's a solid three-point shooter.
Yeah, and that's not his game. So, I mean, if you look at the tertiary part of his game and he's shooting close to 40% from three, yeah, I think he's pretty good. 1-800-919-3776. Continue to take your phone calls, some baseball stuff as well, moving closer to what Don is very annoyed is called a national holiday, pitchers and catchers. It's Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.